Good morning and welcome back to the Dumpty Blogs Morning Coffee Podcast, the DBMC Radio. Hope you're having a great morning, a great day, and maybe a cup of coffee, and also maybe nice weather. It's kind of warming up here a little bit, 10 degrees and blue skies today, so it's looking good. And we are going to start with Canto 17 today in Dante's Paradiso. So now we're in the heart of Paradiso, Paradise, and we are moving towards one of the main topics here, especially this sphere, which is the comedy in itself and like why Dante is writing it and how he's moving towards the revealing kind of the both the background, the motivation and the context, like for himself also, how this is coming about and what he wants to achieve with it. So it starts then, interestingly, with a reference to a Greek myth that I know at least half of our audience of two people is interested in, which is the myth about Phaethon. So he opens Canto 17 with the following in Italian. Qual venne a Climene per accettarsi di ciò che avea incontro a sé udito, quei che ancor fa li padri ai figli scarsi. So, the one who went to Climene, the nymph Climene, to assert himself or to make sure of himself that which he had encountered with hearing, meaning that Phaethon, who is the son of Apollo, the sun god Apollo, the other kids are teasing him and saying that, like, no, your father is not Apollo. Like, you haven't even seen him. It's just something your mother tells you. So then Phaethon goes to his mother, Climene, and asks, like, is it really true? And then that's how that myth starts. And then she says, yes, and you can just go and see him. And then he goes and sees him. And then he wants a proof. And Apollo says that I will grant you one wish, whatever you want. And then Phaethon wants to ride the chariot of the sun across the skies. And Apollo says, you can't do that because you're not strong enough. You can't control it. But Phaethon insists on it. And then when he does it, it becomes a catastrophe. He loses control. The whole world burns down. And Zeus has to throw a thunderbolt at Phaethon. And then he is hit and falls down in the underworld. So, and this is just important because the third verse there is like, que ancor fa li padri ai figli scarsi, meaning that which still makes fathers towards their children, in a sense, like not restricted, but they are cautious and they are conscious of this warning in the story that you have to take care and protect your kids and not let them do whatever they wish to do. So, and this ties into the wish that is coming now from the pilgrim. So it just sets the scene that he's about to ask about his own future. And then the whole question is, do you really want to know this? And then also for Cacciaguida, it's like, do you really want to tell him? Is he ready? Is the warning from the Phaethon myth relevant here? So he continues in the second tercet, tal era io. E tal era sentito e da Beatrice e della Santa Lampa che pria per me avea mutato sito. This is a beautiful one. So, such was I, meaning as Phaethon, in the sense of being curious about himself, which is the beginning of the Phaethon myth. It's just the curiosity. It's not the hubris yet. So they kind of align with this curiosity. And tal era sentito, so, and such was felt or known both from Beatrice and from the sacred light that earlier for me had mutated its site or its place. So this is then Beatrice and Cacciaguida, and they both know his curiosity and they know his kind of his question, his doubt, already before he has said anything. And it's also very interesting the way it says that the La Cacciaguida, as kind of the ancestry, had already mutated itself to accommodate his wishes. So in a sense, you might think of this as at least one aspect that when the pilgrim is like conjoining and participating or uniting with the ancestry more consciously, spiritually, then he also, in some sense, changes the nature of this overall ancestry spirit when he becomes a part of it, because then he adds something to it. So it's kind of a deep thing here with the word mutato. It might point back to much earlier when, in the beginning, after this torrent of revelations and insights he gets in the beginning, he uses the words that he is becoming mutable, like he's changeable, which is a part of the earliest stage of the whole ascent. And then also you can think of how he is alluding to, in a sense, that he is like a child, and then Beatrice and Cacciaguida are like almost like a mother and a father, like at least two guiding figures. And then that is part of the dynamic here. And then again, she as the divine wisdom, and then Cacciaguida as the ancestry here, and the courage as well. Okay, so third set. Per che mia donna manda fuor la vampa del tuo disio, mi disse, sì che ella escia segnata bene della interna stampa. This is also a beautiful one. The tone here is interesting. It's kind of... is beautiful, not so complicated, but also deep and spiritual. So it's yet another feeling of the poetry here. So he says then that, for which, like this this curiosity he has, and that Cacciaguida and Beatrice can feel, so for which my lady said then, bring out or send out or put out the flame of your desire or your question, she told me. Yes, so it exits, or it comes out of you, well marked of the internal imprint. So just the way he is kind of making the inner process and the thought life and the spiritual life something, like she does something concrete, saying that you have to bring forth, bring outside of yourself this burning question you have inside, and do it in a way that makes it well-shaped, well-formed from that internal wish and the imprint you have. And she continues, non perché nostra conoscenza cresce per tuo parlare, not because our knowing, our insight, our familiarity, like hers and Cacciaguida, will grow from your talking, meaning that they already know how he feels and thinks and what he's going to say. Ma perché ti ausi a dir la sete? But because you should habituate yourself to saying your thirst, articulating your thirst. Sì che l'uom timesca. Yes, so it will be poured, and that it upon, and that it will be answered, and you will have, you will get help to quench this thirst. And it's also interesting that this idea of articulating your inner thought, even if it is predictable and known by both, like the eternal, infinite wisdom, is important as a part of your inner process to articulate things, because you have to then both connect what you are feeling and thinking to something bigger, like a bigger spiritual realm. And there's also a way of growing through being more conscious and more precise and more familiar inside of yourself through doing this. So it's important. You can notice, like earlier, the pilgrim is, especially in Venus, he's saying to the souls, he's testing them, like, do you know what my thought is? Can you say it before I tell it to you? And he's also accusing one of them, almost saying, like, why haven't you already answered my thoughts? Because if I could read your thoughts and I had seen that you had a question, I would start answering it without you having to say it. So that's an earlier stage, but now we get more of this Beatrice explaining that the way you engage in your inner life and articulate it is a very important part of the process, and kind of this increasing participation in itself. So that is the beginning, and especially you can notice that this comes with this question that the pilgrim is going to have about his own future. So it's a big question, and like, and she tells him then like, you have to articulate this properly. So that's all we had for this one. Four tercets, the beginning of Canto 17. It's a little bit exciting because this is the middle canto again, and then we, when we reach the middle of this canto, we will have read exactly half of Paradiso fully in the medieval Italian, which is just a whole new journey. It's the English translations are often very beautiful. They are fantastic reads, but the original has some dimensions that are just incredible and in a sense more transformative in how deep they dig into you and they start changing you. So that's another thing to, we're going to look forward to in the middle of this canto. And it's also a great starter with just invoking the Greek myth of Phaethon, and the caution with this, like if you really dig, maybe close with this one, if you really dig into these things, be aware of what you're doing and remember the warnings from the Phaethon myth in terms of what powers you might engage in, and then just that you have to make sure that you're ready for it. And that's a little bit this dynamic here with how he feels himself and a little bit what Beatrice is saying, and also how Cacciaguida is reacting to this. So with that, hope some of this was interesting, some food for thought on a Saturday. So we have, this is like a weekend bonus again, and hope you're still having a great day, maybe a cup of coffee or a cup of tea, and we'll be back soon with another episode. See you then.